Welcome to the Life's a Pitch podcast, the show where we pitch the best movies that will never get made. I'm Tom McGrath.
And I'm Matt Turner. This is the podcast where we ask you, the listener, to give us a title of a movie that doesn't exist. Yet.
We then collaborate to create a pitch for that movie, complete with casting, story beats, and sometimes even marketing.
Without further ado, this week's main feature is...
Family Animal Movies!
Family Animal Movies.
Yeah.
Fanimal Movies.
Fanimal.
Your Garfields.
Yeah.
And your... That's it, that's the only one.
Your Garfields, that's the only one, is
Clifford,
it?
Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Your Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Sure, yep, that's it. Family movie, animal movie, perfect.
E.T. to some degree.
To some degree. Lots of... There are loads of them, Ice Age and Madagascar... And loads of like, it can either be little animals doing their thing, or a family what's got an animal, or anything in between, basically.
An animal stands in the way of a real estate mogul.
Yeah, if you're specifically referring to Furry Vengeance,
yes,
with Brendan Fraser.
Yes, the
Oscar winner Brendan Fraser.
The overlooked gem that is Furry Vengeance.
Yes. Everyone, go and watch it and see how much of an overlooked gem it is. Don't do it. On my account.
Or not an overlooked gem, if Liam Higgins from Twitter is to be believed.
I like how you said that, you phrased that, from Twitter, is from Liam Higgins from 32 Cuddlesbury Way, says it's not an overlooked gem.
Yeah, do you remember when they used to give people's full address about on the BBC?
Yep.
A bit weird, that.
Well, it was a bit weird,
So, we're pitching Family Animal Movies.
Yeah.
Thank you to everyone who's given us titles for us to make up movies for on our social media. If you want to go to social media, you can go to facebook.com/Life's a Pitch podcast and Twitter as well. We are at Life's a Pitch Show and patreon.com as well. patreon.com/Life's a Pitch podcast as well.
Yes, indeedy.
More about that last one later.
Later.
Yes. So shall we get on with pitching some family animal movies?
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. So from Stuart Dunlop, we've got Quit Badgering Me.
Quit Badgering Me. Okay. I'm imagining a conversation a lot like, you know, the start of Shrek. You know, where donkey's following Shrek and
with my swamp.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, I want to be friends with you. You really scared those guys. Oh, you're really cool. Oh, yeah. But you need some Tic Tacs because your breath stinks, etc. I feel like a badger really... It's the opposite of, like, a, you know, the classic family movie about an animal.
Yeah.
Where the kid brings home the animal and the animal, like, and the family don't want it there.
Yeah, yeah. Or the dad doesn't want
dad
it there, like in Paddington.
And all the rest of the family like it.
Yeah.
It's a badger that really just thinks it's part of the family.
Yeah.
Voiced by Danny DeVito.
Yeah, no one wants that badger there.
Yeah.
And it just keeps coming back. And, like, sitting...
You know, not voiced by Danny DeVito. It's got a voice like, all right, what are we doing today, then?
House badger. But Danny DeVito's the dad.
Yeah, Danny DeVito's the dad. He's like, all right, there, what are we doing today, then? Fancy, are we going down the shops, or...?
Jervis, it's not Scouse.
Brummy.
Brummy? I'm a brummy badger. But, like, it's American.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a reverse Paddington.
Do they have badgers in America?
Maybe. They have raccoons. Similar kind of looking animal.
Yep.
I think you got this badger turning up. I think the dad's driving back from work or driving to work, and they see this badger sort of, like, looking at them in the driveway.
Yeah.
And then, like, the badger just runs off. It's like, that was weird, seeing a badger in North America.
Yeah, that is weird.
That is very odd. And then at work, like, he's out at Starbucks to get a coffee and the badger's just out the window. And then he, like, double takes and the badger's gone.
And it's gone. And this family are having trouble with, raccoons in their bins and stuff.
Mm.
And, like, you know, pests.
Yeah.
And they start turning up dead. Like the raccoons yeah. start turning up dead.
It's badgers been killing raccoons.
Yeah, like yeah. badgers. I recently had the experience of like walking up. It was really late at night.
Mm.
I was walking up a road and just heard the most ungodly noise.
Yeah.
A noise like I've never heard before. It was horrid to witness.
Mm.
And I was like, what is that? It was like... right? It was like someone had made a horror noise.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? For me. And it was just taking place in someone's front garden.
Mm.
And I looked, peeped my head around the corner of this thing. It was just, like, quite scary. It was, like, really late at night. And there's two badgers fighting. But, like, had their, like, their jaws locked around each other's, like, necks.
Yeah.
And they were just, like, vicious.
Yeah,
they're screaming at each other.
Horrible creatures.
I mean, they're, like, they're fine creatures. It's just, like, weird. They're weird dogs.
Yeah.
Who will eat just about anything.
Well, yeah. So this badger in this film is like... So they don't realise that they've not had a raccoon problem because this badger has just been sort of taking them out.
They no longer have a raccoon problem because this badger's got attached to them.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the dad gets back from work, puts a paper up, sits at the dinner table, puts the paper down, and there's a badger just like, what are we having for tea then? And yeah. the whole family screams, guesses, like, the badger gets chased out, just like, oh, all right then. I was only wondering what I could get to eat. And then he just keeps on trying to get in.
Yep.
And they're just like, no!
I think at the start of the movie, they, like, the car screeches to a halt just in time to not hit a badger.
Yeah.
Like, that, probably something like that. Or, like, the badger was about to get eaten by a mountain lion.
Yeah.
They interrupt.
Or, like... The dad hits the mountain lion.
Doesn't see
the badger,
yeah.
But the badger's like, I owe this family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm part of this family that saved my life.
Yes. it's the same tale as Jar Jar Binks. Really.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. But the guy loves earthworms and... And you know, snuffling around in the ground.
I think that's it. I think there's got to be like a scientist out to get badger meat or something.
Catch the most intelligent, because it's an experiment. What do you reckon?
Yeah,
to a badger that can speak.
it's the guy with the same intensity as what's the name of the guy from Guardians of the Galaxy 3?
Yeah, I don't remember.
The bad guy from that who creates all the animals that look like people.
Yeah.
he's basically going at this badger with the same intensity as that, just like, there is no God! That's why I stepped in!
and genetically modified badger to try, because they've got good noses.
Yeah.
To try and sniff out oil fields.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, we really want to make this guy not like.
I'm going somewhere with this, Tom, because this is to the resolution of the movie.
Yeah.
They're like, the house is going to get bought out, so that the badger has nowhere to go.
Oh.
They want to, right? And then the badger snuffles out an oil field. Something that smells a little bit like petrol.
Yeah.
Truffles.
Oh!
So the family realise that they're sat on a truffle field.
On a truffle gold mine.
Yeah, and the badger's able to snuffle them out.
Mm.
It's not... Doesn't buy into the petroleum industry.
Yeah.
And they smell a bit like... Come on, guys. Truffles do smell a bit like petrol.
Yeah.
They do. You can say they're nice all you want, but they do smell a bit like petrol.
So, this badger is around there just sniffing out truffles.
Yeah.
As I think that's the sort of Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah, exactly. That's the Goonies treasure.
So the bulldozers are at the house.
Yeah.
And then suddenly this badger, they've been kicking out the whole time and then come to love over time because he stopped this maniacal man from coming into their house with a gun.
They go to say, like, you know... They've gotten, like, the kids have gotten used to him, like him a bit.
Yeah.
Like him. they can tolerate him.
Imagine this Paddington-like movie in which at the end they're just sort of like, I'm indifferent.
Yeah, you're
really.
All right.
You're
yeah.
all right.
No, the kids like him. Because he's caring,
yeah,
and he's done all this stuff for them. Like, you know, he's taught them how to dig.
Yeah.
Dig.
He's taught them how to dig.
He's the best I could do there.
Yeah.
climb trees with your claws.
Yeah.
To tell whether or not some food's gone good or bad or whatever. Mm. Like, and then like they go to tell him like. They're going to knock down our house unless you go.
Mm.
You have to leave. And then he's there and he's like, before they kicked him out, because he ate some of their food.
Yeah.
And they're like, and he's like, well, I had to find my own food. This mushroom really stinks.
And
I'll eat it for you.
Yeah.
You
and know? Then the dad who works at like a really fancy French restaurant
yeah.
is like, what the fuck?
What is that?
Yeah.
It's a truffle. You found a truffle on our land?
Yeah. And then that the bulldozer at the door, this is when this happens. And
yeah.
he's like, stop! Stop your bulldozers! There's truffles in our back garden.
I can sell these for £10,000 a kilo.
Yeah, and then he gets the relocation sheet of paper attached to the door, the eviction notice
yeah.
attached to the door, and rips it up.
Oh,
and
he,
tears
no,
it up.
He throws it down, and then
the badger has it.
I tears it viscerally to pieces.
Goes to town, yeah,
and
yeah.
then looks dead in the eye of these bulldozer drivers, and
they
all they
back
reverse.
Off. They reverse onto the mad scientist man.
Yeah.
Or chase
goes,
him down the
goes,
road.
Yow!
because
the bulldozer rolled the steamroller rolled over his toe.
Yeah, like Tom from Tom and Jerry
yeah.
screaming. Yeah.
yeah. there you go.
Quit badgering me. That's what that was
Quit
called.
Quit badgering me, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
Yeah.
A good movie. Could see that in the mid-noughties.
For sure.
Yeah. All right, so from James Cannon, we've got Mr. Whittaker's Gazelle Emporium.
Mr. Whittaker's Gazelle Emporium.
yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna buy a gazelle.
yeah. This is like probably about how it's really difficult to keep a gazelle penned anywhere because they can jump
oh, yeah.
really, really high.
You could jump like 12 foot
yeah.
in the air or something, right?
Yeah. So I think he just has this idea, I think, of like, I want a gazelle emporium.
Yeah.
Or do you think it's like a man, a drifter comes to town selling gazelles and everyone's like, they're perfect.
Like a snake oil salesman.
Yeah,
you need a gazelle.
Yeah. Gazelles can keep away wolves.
this traveling salesman who sells gazelles and then they just jump over the hedges and join him again. He goes from town to
no,
town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Trained gazelles.
It's either that or the world in this movie is as hyped for gazelles as the world is hyped for chocolate in Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory.
Well, I think either way we need to solve that problem, don't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Even if it is a travelling salesman that sells gazelles, we need to...
I'm a gazellesman.
I'm a gazellesman. I think we need to come up with a reason that gazelles are useful, right?
Yes. I don't think they are.
Or good pets.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's probably it, is that he says his gazelle is that gazelles are great companions.
Great companions. Or he goes round sort of suburban neighbourhoods who have a lot of lawn
yeah.
that cannot be
tamed. Oh, yeah.
Tamed.
Lawnmower.
Yeah.
A lawnmower, they're tidy. They are, you know, toilet trained.
Yeah.
And they are tidy and they eat your grass and they never put a foot out of line. And while he's there,
yeah.
that's true.
It starts with an advert, right? of, I mean, it's like Alan Tudyk or someone like that's going, "Hey, I'm Mr. Whittaker."
An advert, okay.
Yeah, and I'm selling gazelles. What? You may think gazelles in North America? What a stupid thing to do. Well, I'll tell you.
The sell on gazelles.
Oh, well, companionship, tick, and your lawn. Is that unruly enough for you?
He's walking through a bad lawn with a snake in it.
And it's like, and this woman comes out of the house is like, "Wow, did you replace my lawn with AstroTurf?" And he's like, "No, it was my gazelles.
Plus they attack snakes."
Yeah. Ever have a snake problem? Yes, all the time. Snakes. I have had it with these snakes in my house.
In my mother effing house.
Says Samuel Jackson.
Yeah.
Dressed like Alan Tudyk's character.
Yep.
Yeah. And then it's like sort of star wipes to, "I'm coming to a town near you."
So this has got to be like someone who loves the gazelles.
Mm.
Maybe someone runs away from home. And like, you know, sort of like in the way you'd run away to join the circus.
Okay.
And like, because I can't see a reason what we would center a story on Alan Tudyk's character.
Well, this is the thing.
I think someone's
centered around a family.
Yeah. Who buy a gazelle?
What?
Who buy a gazelle?
Yes, who buy a gazelle from this traveling salesman.
Yeah.
And then grow attached to it.
Yeah.
And then the gazelle goes away.
Yeah. I think maybe it gets injured. Like, it gets... So, what happens is, Alan Tudyk, every night... Like, 2 days... He's in town for a day.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he leaves... Or he's in town for a few days to sell gazelles.
Mm.
And then two or three days later, he blows this whistle and every gazelle comes bounding back to
him.
And so it's got this kind of Pied Piper situation where, like,
I think it's either we start with the advert or we start with, like, very much like Get Out. You know how it starts with just this guy wandering the streets in this suburb?
Mm.
You just see this top-hatted, caped man walking down the middle of the road who just plays a little whistle, like off in the distance, and then suddenly these gazelles...
Hundreds of gazelles are on the road, yeah.
But it's all silent.
Yeah.
Like, it's all, like, quite... There's no, like, tapping of like, hooves on the concrete or anything like that. It's all just done silently.
And it's only done in silhouette.
Yeah.
At the start. We're not tipping our hand, right?
Mm.
Like, it's done in silhouette. We see hundreds of gazelles hopping along a road.
Yeah, yeah.
Toward this man framed against the moonlight. With a whistle. and, yeah, I think this gazelle gets injured.
Yeah.
This
gazelle gets injured, so it can't get away.
Yeah.
And Alan Tudyk is trying to break into this house.
to get one gazelle back?
Yeah, no. He accounts for every loss.
Every gazelle.
Yeah, every gazelle has to come back. Otherwise, the magic doesn't work.
I think it's better if you have this kid who's attached to it.
Yeah.
Fixes its leg up.
Mm.
But Alan Tudyk's already gone.
Mm.
The family now have to go on a road trip to try and find this mysterious stranger who deliberately makes himself difficult to find. Because if you bought a gazelle of Alan Tudyk and he disappears out of town...
Mm.
He's not going to want to be found by you, right?
Right, yeah.
So,
yeah.
They've got a gazelle who wants to see its family.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's they're sad, they've got a sad gazelle. All the other gazelles are gone. This gazelle that they care about, they fixed its leg, is crying, it's whining, it's like, "I can't get back to my family." And
Because their neighbours all had the gazelles in their family.
Yeah.
And this one's stayed behind because
exactly.
It broke its leg.
They
or
now realise what's happened. Of course they realise what's happened. All the gazelles are gone, except for theirs, and it was only not there because it only didn't go because it was injured.
Yeah.
It now misses its family and is inconsolable.
Yeah.
Right? And this kid's like, "Please, Mum and Dad, can we try and find its family? We've got to find its way back to the family." So they go out on a road trip looking for Alan Tudyk to try and give him this gazelle back.
Mm.
But he doesn't want to be found because he thinks they're angry at him for selling him a gazelle.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. He
would never want to be found.
He does his MO,
yeah.
Which is just... Go underground.
Go to ground, yeah. That's it. And so they're going
get through a disguise.
Sneaky side streets of New Orleans. You know, like there he's gone to ground.
I want the ending of this movie to be this family
hundreds of sneaky side streets of New Orleans where he's keeping hundreds of gazelles.
Well, this is my thing, right? Yeah. This film ends very similar to North by Northwest.
Okay.
He has a hidden gazelle emporium. Underneath Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
And he has subtly changed the faces on Mount Rushmore to all look like his different disguises.
Yeah, okay.
So he looks like Magician Alan Tudyk. You've got Steve Irwin style Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, he's the one that goes out to Africa to actually get the gazelles.
Yes.
And train them.
Yeah, you've got businessman Alan Tudyk.
Yep.
And you've got wrestler Alan Tudyk.
Businessman Alan Tudyk sells gazelles to the rich and famous.
Yes.
Those are ones that they get to keep so that they spread the want for gazelles.
Yes.
And then the wrestler Alan Tudyk, that's just his hobby.
Yeah, imagine Ben Affleck going, I've got a gazelle now.
Yeah.
My lawn and snake problems are over.
The last one is actually a ringleader, like a circus ringleader.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. That's where the top hat and cape come from. Yeah. And the whistle.
Yeah.
And they go through the nose of what was Thomas Jefferson.
Yep.
To find this underground gazelle
lair.
The lair. I think that's just they sort of set them all free.
They set them free to roam on the mountains around Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, that's it. And they get the gazelle to
and the family set up shop.
Yeah.
In the lair. What was the lair?
They're breeding gazelles because they love gazelles.
They love
now.
Gazelles now.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
It's like, you got a grass and snake problem? Forget about it. It ends with their advert.
Yeah. And we don't sell you them. We rent them to look after your grass. And
Yeah, exactly. Know. And then they've got all their faces on the faces of Mount Rushmore for some reason.
It's just fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fun to change Mount Rushmore up every now and then. Yeah.
Actually, I think it's long overdue.
Long overdue, yeah. Okay, so from Stephen Thomas, we've got The Crows Know Too Much.
Okay, I like this.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't even have to be a particularly big crime or anything.
Yeah.
It can be, and I do think it might be one of those things that could get you in real trouble.
Mm.
Not decide what it is yet.
Crows telling?
Well, I think someone moves into the area
who's
like, they're a bit gothy, right? It's a suburban landscape.
Yeah.
Just outside, like, fairly rural, some distance between the houses, big gardens, land attached.
Yeah.
And then the new neighbour moves in, and it's around Halloween, and they put their Halloween decorations up, and they basically don't come down.
Okay.
Right? And this person is, like, they have that fun, like that witchy vibe.
Yeah.
And the family go over, whoever it is, and they're like, you know, curtain twitching.
Mm.
And they realise that this person, who lives in this house, like, talks to crows.
Okay.
Right? Because they're like a goth, and they think, oh, well, that's funny.
Yeah.
Right? But then, like, they sort of do something that kind of proves it. Right?
Yeah.
That this crow has told them, like, they just seem to know more about what's going on in the neighborhood.
I think it's one of those things where it's like the neighborhood has a secret.
Yes.
That the crows, I mean, there's loads of crows hanging out.
Yeah.
It's sort of semi-rural suburban of Salem or something like that.
Yeah, it's got cornfields.
New England kind of thing. And like this witchy, this goth person. It's a Tim Burton movie.
Yeah, it's Aubrey Plaza.
Aubrey Plaza has moved in. She can talk to crows.
Yeah, she can talk to crows. And like, it's kind of proved that she can do that.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's not, though, told from her perspective. I think we match the sort of intensity of a horror movie or a thriller with the sort of family vibe of a movie where we're following the culprit.
Yeah.
We're following dad's antics
in
trying to get rid of all these crows. and trying and failing because he's trying to hide this dark secret.
He's like Joe Pesci trying to get rid of Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, or indeed he's what's his name in Deck the Halls?
Matthew Broderick.
Matthew Broderick in Deck the Halls, right? He's sneaking over to try and get rid of his problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? He's doing what's objectively wrong to try and deal with this problem he perceives and being, like, embarrassed because of it constantly. And then the embarrassment gets worse and worse until, like, the crows are a threat.
Yeah. Okay, so... Right, is it a secret that the family is in on, or has he like had an affair,
ooh,
or something like that?
Good question.
Something that only he is trying to get rid of these crows for.
I think it's better if it's a low-level family problem,
okay,
like my child has been kicked out of college, and now they're living back here, and they don't want the neighbours to know, so they're hiding her. they're not letting her go out.
High stakes.
Like, they're not letting her go out because they don't want... But the stakes come when the lengths at which he's willing to go to stop people knowing escalates.
Right.
And his daughter, like Sophie Turner or whatever,
yeah,
who has been kicked out of college, is, like, resisting this. Right, so she wants to go out. She wants to go and see her friends. That's kind of like how she's got kicked out of college, is that she doesn't really care for academia. She wants to hang out. She wants to drink. She wants to spend time with her friends.
Yeah.
John Goodman, let's say, he's a bit old now, but it's fine.
John Goodman back in the day.
Yeah, John Goodman is trying his very, very hardest not to let anyone know that she's back in town and that she's living here again.
And I really like the idea that his wife comes back and says, oh, that new Aubrey Plaza's moved up the road into the vacant... The house has been vacant for a while. We've talked about this. I don't know who's playing his wife. But funny thing, she could talk to crows.
She said, I took her over a pie.
Yeah.
And she said she could talk to crows.
I was like, isn't that fascinating? And he's like... She can talk to crows?
She's a whack. She's a wacko. Don't talk to her anymore.
And then like, he's getting in the car once, looks over, waves at Aubrey Plaza, and Aubrey Plaza's got loads of crows that she's talking to.
But then, like, you know, a crow, he's out in the garden.
Yeah.
And he literally sees, he's trying to build this... He's trying to build this barbecue out in the yard. He's struggling with it. He's like, hey, where the hell is my monkey wrench? And then there's obviously he's like looking up because he's heard this conversation. He's seen her talking to crows.
Yeah.
He's like looking side-eyed at these crows who are sitting in the tree.
Yeah.
There are a lot of them. He'd never really realised just how many crows there are in this area.
Yeah. I think later on, he's in a scene with Aubrey Plaza, and she's like, oh, I heard you were putting up a barbecue the other day.
Who told you that?
Oh, the crows taught me.
I've got a monkey wrench if you need one.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, like, and then he's like, oh, shit. We need something to solidify that Aubrey Plaza could definitely talk to crows.
Yeah, and she knows specifics about what he's struggling with,
Yeah. And I think then, like, he's like, oh, but I, like, our daughter's come back. What if... What if the whole neighbourhood finds out and his wife's like, oh my god, yeah.
Oh yeah.
I didn't think about that. And Aubrey Plaza's such a blabbermouth. Oh no. What if the crows find out? They found out about that slip in the shower you had. Yeah. That caused a right ruckus.
Well, that was just, because I had to, I still suspect Dr. Thompson would hold people. You know, he's still like, you know, he's a bit like...
A bit apprehensive.
I suppose he's a bit doubtful of the
power of Aubrey Plaza talking to crows. Yeah.
So I think he starts putting up like planting big trees.
Yeah.
That like and then when the crows all nest in the tree, so that she can't because he thinks she's got like a telescope or something, she's looking into their house.
Yeah.
And then the crows start looking in sitting in the trees, and then so he gets worse and he starts like putting he starts like I mean, in the end, he's gonna kill it. He's gonna kill crows, isn't
well,
he?
Well, the thing is, like, at one point, she goes on holiday for ages. She comes back, and then, like, oh, she was like, oh, I heard you slipped in the shower the other day. And then
she brings him a poultice. A witchy poultice to help him help his neck heal because he bruised his collarbone.
And then she's like, oh, I've been away for the past few weeks. He's like, oh, she doesn't have a telescope. It's the fucking crows.
It's the fucking crows.
He's fucking there's crows all over the fucking place. What am I going to do? He gets a scarecrow.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. These crows are very smart. He gets a scarecrow. Because they're living in suburban America. Yeah. Like, they don't care about people.
Not scared of people.
I think he should get, like, you know, like an automated sprinkler.
Yeah.
But the one that shoots BB pellets.
Yeah, like an automated sentry gun.
Yeah.
And, of course, he gets caught by it himself because he's, like, he's sneaking out trying to see whether she's, like, hanging out because she's hanging out on her land, right? She's out there. There's a fire on the hill. Yeah. He goes out to see what the hell is she doing over there? Another witchy, right?
I really like the idea that he's a big Baltimore Ravens fan.
Yeah, of course he is.
And
yeah.
he's going out of the house with this big black bird on his shirt, and the sentry gun recognizes it. He just gets shot out loads.
His impressionistic crow.
Yeah.
On his shirt.
All because they don't want to find out that their daughter's come back, that they've got in the basement or something.
And I think the turning point of this is they find out that Sophie Turner's been sneaking out at night to hang out with Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah.
Like, that's
that's the crux of it. I think it doesn't really matter how it ends. It's basically what John Goodman does.
Yeah, I think, I think basically he kills some crows.
Yeah.
And then to hide that he's got a load of dead crows in his boot, like in his trunk.
Yeah.
He like, he sort of...
Well,
he knocks out a visitor. Like, I think it escalates to the point where, like, the mailman finds crows in his boot and is like gonna talk to the, like, RSPCA or whatever, you know, the sort of Peter or whatever.
Yeah. And RSPB.
Then, yeah.
In America.
In America, yeah.
Yeah, in the American version of.
And so he, like, you know, deliberately tries to get this guy, like, to look crazy or something, you know? Like, he gets him drunk. He, like, he's got this knockout, you know, powder or, like, knockout... Yeah. Stuff he douses him in like whiskey so that when he goes to tell Pater he's like they don't believe him this guy's got a lot of crows in his boot.
I think he buys a drone to chase it because he's looking at he's trying to get him with a broom at one point. It's like get out of my garden like trying to hit him. He's like but crows can fly. I need to be able to fly.
He ties balloons to a lawn chair.
He does that.
But then the crows peck at the balloons.
Well, one thing, he gets a drone first, right? And he's chasing these birds out. And then suddenly the drone sort of ends up in this other woman's
land,
shower.
Yeah. Oh.
As she's having a shower. He's like... He's spying on me! And it's like, no, that's not what it was! And then... He goes like, right, okay, maybe the drone's not the best idea. So he gets a chair with a load of balloons on it.
Yep.
The balloons pop. He ends up going through the roof of this woman's house as she's showering.
Yeah.
And he's like, come on!
But he's smashed and he goes to hospital and he's broken every bone in his body, smashing through the roof of this house.
Oh, yeah.
He's got... criminal charges against him.
Yeah.
And then visiting him in a hospital, holding hands, are Sophie Turner and Aubrey Plaza.
Yep. And he's out in the garden in a full body cast, all the crows are landing on him.
The crows know too much.
The crows know too much. Thank you, Stephen Lee Thomas, for that one. All right, so those were all our titles.
They were indeed.
Thank you to everyone who's given us titles this week. Remember, if you want to give us titles, go over to facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast, Twitter @ Life's a Pitch Show, and patreon.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast. We have more on that right now.
Right now, actually. You thought that he was going to say later, but he did not. Mm. We have a Patreon account. We have a Patreon page, which is patreon.com/ Live to Pitch Podcast. That's where you can give us as little as $1 a month to keep the podcast going, to show your support, and to get a vote on the genre each week, bonus pictures and all sorts of nonsense over there. But most importantly, you get your name read out. So go over to there if you want to support us, want to keep the podcast going. If you would buy a coffee every 4 months or something, right? Like, it's a really low price. And that's a cheap coffee. It's not even like a Starbucks.
That's like a
flat white.
That's a vending machine coffee.
Yeah, exactly. A can of
coffee.
Yeah, because it's like dollars as well, so that's like very little pounds.
Yeah.
So, you know, average coffee at maybe $3.20 to $3.60, I would say, from a cafe.
Yeah.
So if you want to get up to that, that's about 6 months worth of Patreons. Just to put it into perspective.
Yes.
So anyway, go over there, follow us at the very least, and give us some money if you would like the podcast to keep going. But we'd like to say thank you to all the people who do that. That is Spanky, the Albat Ross around your neck, Cashews in the Attic. Is that anything? Stephen D. Thomas. Orcsaredorks.podbean.com. Christmas episode. It's March. Christmas episode out now out in the wild like a feral elf being hunted by a shotgun-wielding St. Nick. Fingers to Hand. Paul Giamatti taking the ginger electrician's wife to Finger Avenue while he sorts your fruit fuses out. James Delaney. A Warning to Thee. Doth not prod thy finger of curiosity into a sooth yond thou art ill did prepare for. I definitely did not forget to change this for months. The name's Gumboot. Ptolemy Gumboot. Chicago PD retired. Your man Brent says you've got a suspicious name situation needs investigating. Rebecca, enter film quote here later. Beachy. Goddamn you, Genie. Where's my Sky Meet ? Brent Black. Question box. Retired. Thanks, Inspector. See here, look at the names. There's something going on. I keep getting phone calls where somebody just breathes down the line. And young Thomas, never flitting, still is sitting, on the bust of Matthew, just above my chamber door, and his eyes have all the seeming of a Joseph Hegarty that is dreaming, and the lamplight o'er them streaming throws their podcast upon the floor, and my soul from out that shadow lies floating on the floor, perched, sat, considered, Matt, a bird, the Inspector, nevermore. The serial dragon and family, that he is considered as the rightful property of some one or other of their daughters. Deny human. Look, Inspector, hark there, that one, did you see it? Flew right past the arrogant bastard. How? Quickly, sir. Inspect. Alex Keane, nobody tell Patreon about my SQL injections. Hark, the Herald Angels sing of the second Patreon account I created to join this stupid ARG. I invited you all to gut level, I invited you climbing. All you seem to want is life-changing wishes granted. Pshaw. Zoe, alright, who's ready for February? Time to cancel Matt for their right-wing opinions about dogs being allowed into the legislature. There are no rules that say a dog can't play basketball. The vengeful ghosts of Lizzie Windsor and Winston Churchill. Thank you to all those people.
Thank you to everyone. And we end the show, as we always do, with the Yes Very Clever Award, which we give out to someone who's given us a title based around an existing title. Just had a bit of fun with it. And it goes to James Cannon this week, who's given us the Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Dalmatian.
Ah, that's just a white dog, that.
Just a white dog, yeah. Snoopy.
Yeah.
So until next week, I've been Tom McGrath.
I've been Matt Turner.
Remember who pitched it.